Soon to be the Jack Rhodes Show.
Right, soon to be.
Jimmy thought he had a show, but no.
They did, but no.
It's all gone.
This party's a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
Igor, how's the monster coming along?
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Biogen, can an engine engage? Raise the monster.
Yes, yes.
It's time for the
Jimmy Dode Show.
And it is, too. And it is time for the Jimmy Dode Show.
Whoa. Release the monster.
Release the monster. That's right. Ooh, I got it. Release the monster.
Jimmy,
are you telling me I unzip my pants? No, not going to happen. Okay, no. This
he
is
the monster, Jimmy.
Yeah. That's what I said. Okay. Anyway, it's been a while since we were on. It's been over a week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, we have
we have
here today Jack Rhodes. With
hey, Jack.
Counselor Curtis is on hiatus.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate because we had a lot of
legal issues
which you're going to have to pass.
Well, you know what that means. Then that means it's Jimmy's law.
Well, that's right. It's,
we don't have a lawyer. We make up the law.
Well, it's like, what was that movie with Paul Newman? The Social Law West of the Pecos? Judge Roy Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Roy Bean, that's it.
Jimmy's
and,
law.
Eric, the engineer.
Exactly. Yeah, backroom
engineer.
That's right. Back from
astronaut convention.
Astronaut convention. Yeah. We'll talk a few seconds about that. That'd be good. I remember one thing when I heard that intro, which I love, of course. I didn't realize, but that particular those sounds effects with the Jacob's ladders and everything are used in a bunch of Bela Lugosi movies. Not only the Frankenstein monster, but almost any time they want to do anything,
right?
They use that sound.
They're classics.
Oh yeah, it's like doing it again and again. Anyway, I want to say welcome to new listeners, old listeners. And apologize again for taking so long, but it'll be worth the wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Today's the 19th.
Those emails coming, jimmy@jimmydone.com.
That's right, and we got one today. We're going to, from, who's it from? From,
we'll get to that in a little
bit. The gold standard. And I'm not sitting here looking at it, and I should, but anyway, we didn't get on the gold standard. From a long-time listener.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we got Mexico. Mexico's hitting us. Denmark is hitting us, which is also good. The usual in Nevada. Beijing, China again. Repeat visitor. Tennessee for Smithville, Tennessee for some reason is coming on strong. But it seems to be all over the place. We have
we love Tennessee.
Well, we do,
especially Smithville,
especially the whiskey.
That's right. No, that's Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels.
Jim.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh yeah. No, Jack Daniels is old time Sour Mash Tennessee whiskey.
Right. That's right. And Smithfield, is that the ham? I don't know. Anyway, so that's Smithfield ham. You know, big deal.
Yeah.
We're doing well. Appreciate your coming back. And
keep those emails coming.
That's right.
And we'll answer yours just like we're going to answer one today.
That's right. We're going to talk a little bit about the 24/7 JonBenet Ramsey.
Right.
That's right.
The gold standard.
Did he do it? Did he not do it? We don't know.
No, suicide, whatever.
Okay.
Gold standard, wiretap ruling, of course, big deal. Pensions, news in the pension front, which I think is kind of interesting. More on the TSA, the tough shit administration, whatever you call it. I don't know. Mindless confiscation of, lipstick and everything. Immigration,
upgrade,
and then some light notes, and maybe, I want to talk a little bit about the new planets, ozone, whatever it is, asteroids hitting the Earth, smash, whatever.
And new planets.
New planets, right. New, old, are they there, whatever.
More and more every year.
That's right. So anyway, we have good fun. We have to do it. We get any new sound effects from the... I now have all of the...
Futurama,
so we'll be able to pop some more bigger things in there. I do want the one that from the nephew that says, "Good news, everybody! Bad news, someone!" You know, he always comes in with
that. That's a classic.
Well, it is, because it's the same guy that does this. He's with The Simpsons, right?
Right.
Yeah, Groening or whatever.
Groening, Matt Groening.
Well, yeah, he calls himself Greening.
Greening, okay.
I listened to one of the things. Anyway, the you know how in The Simpsons, when it starts up, it's always the what he puts on the blackboard is always different.
Right.
And then when they sit in the couch,
right, it's always different.
On the
something else
Futurama.
In Futurama, the only thing that's different in the intro is what's on that little screen right before the rocket ship crashes.
And the opening text.
And the opening text. And it's just a nanosecond.
Right.
You have to really... It's nothing like The Simpsons where it's long or whatever it is. So
right.
Gotta be quick.
Okay, so anyway, today is the 19th Saturday this evening. Saturday.
Just like sometimes here at the Jimmy Doan Show, you gotta be quick.
That's right.
To understand.
Well, there's two kinds of people, quick and the dead.
It's not that we talk too fast, it's you listen too slow.
That's right.
There's a lot of inside jokes, just try to figure them out.
We don't even know what they are. They're right. So inside. They're so inside, I don't even get them.
Double secret.
That's right, double secret joke. Okay. Well, what we're hoping is that maybe somebody will... read into it. It reminds me of when I was in English class. People read, they have big, long dissertations on what Shakespeare meant.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, who knows? I mean, that's, you know, they read into it,
right,
everything. It's like the big conspiracy theorists and stuff like that. It's easy to do.
So
we welcome that. We welcome you to do that.
Right.
And if you find something hidden in here, go ahead and it's like finding Waldo. You can write us a letter, an email at jimmy@jimmydoan.com, and we'll give you a prize if you're right.
Play all of our shows backwards.
That's right. Especially, yeah. That's right, at high speed. Okay, so let me move on here. The JonBenet is 24/7. What do they have now, two or three complete channels now devoted to JonBenet Ramsey?
JonBenet Ramsey.
That was the... Now, they found this guy over in Thailand.
Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Confessed. Oh, which reminds me...
Pedophile Disneyland.
Huh?
He was in Pedophile Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. Yeah, most, what is it, most hookers per capita in the world or something for this country or something?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Now you tell me.
That's it. Right. Okay, so anyway, the thing is, of course, it is stunning what people have to do in a 24-hour, when a 24-hour news cycle. You know, thank you, Ted Turner, for bringing this up, because he was the one that started it, of course. And these people, it is interesting to watch them for maybe 60 seconds, because they have nothing to say. I mean, there's nothing to say. The guy confessed, but that began to look bogus.
Right.
And nobody knows.
What did the dad say on that quote?
Oh, the dad. This is what I thought was interesting. The dad, at first glance, you would think what the dad said made sense. That is, he said, well, let's not rush to judgment, because as ye judged me and my wife so rapidly, and they were in hell, just like that guy, like the bomber, you know, what's his name?
Kaczynski?
No, the bomber
in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
That guy that found the bomb, and they had him on the rack for 2 or 3 years, and then they finally apologized, which is unusual. Right. Most of the time after they rubber hose you to death and take all your money and everything, they don't even say we're sorry. They just say you're free to go. You know, click, don't hurt your butt on the way out, you know. Anyway, but I'll tell you, there might be an ulterior motive for that. In other words, if he was guilty, that would be the perfect thing to say. That is, don't rush to judgment. Therefore, don't rush to judgment on me.
Right.
And of course, if he's not
inoculating against his future.
He's inoculating for when they do find out the guy isn't guilty.
Right.
He's inoculating because they rushed, because they're trying this guy in the media, as you well know. They lynched him media wise, and now they have 24/7.
Well, there's already 15 theories out there.
Oh,
you know what?
He was just trying to get out of
Thailand. He really did it. He didn't do it.
More theories than Kennedy's assassination.
And he's throwing out all the misinformation that he probably knows. So that's confusing everything. But
well,
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, of course we'll see sometime. But again, it's what happens is the ratings on what is astounding is how the ratings go up. Dramatically on the 24/7 channels at that date. Right. Nothing but this Ramsey. And of course, those two, what's her name? Nancy Grace and the other one with the crooked mouth.
Greta.
Fan Susser.
And they just, you know, they their money, their retainer fee must just go through the ceiling on stuff like this, because they have them on all the time.
I think hell would be being married to Nancy Grace.
You think so?
Oh God,
is that right?
There's no question about it.
We didn't want to hitch Counselor Curtis up.
She's a big listener.
Nancy's
a big listener.
All right, I'm sorry, Nancy.
Yeah, that's right. Let's do it.
Okay. They're all big listeners. They all listen to us. They're a week behind
us. That's true.
That's right.
We talk about it one week, and then
it
it's on
astounding
Fox.
It's astounding that you mention that.
Every time
it's on Fox a week later.
Yep.
And you know, it's funny because we...
how you doing, Sean? Yeah, Sean, our new listener, Sean, out there.
That's right.
Sean H.
The thing that is interesting about that is, and I, without tooting our own horn too much. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, let's go ahead and toot it. Which end was that tooted out of? No, the deal is that...
So we're always ahead of the curve.
But in spite of the fact that you have to take an extra 24 to 48 hours to mix the show, and then... No, I mean, no, because...
Exactly.
Because
and then it takes 24 hours to actually get on iPod. Right.
And then about 24 hours, almost verbatim...
Right.
The stuff comes out in and I can't believe that's a coincidence.
Jimmy, we have been saying this since the days of Hot Talk 1438.
Oh my God, that's right.
Jimmy Doan, always ahead of the curve.
That's we were right. Totally.
We are ahead of the curve.
Even
sometimes
our,
at least
even
a
with
week.
Our wet string antenna. we had a radio when we were on that radio station. We could lean out the window and reach more listeners than we could talking into the microphone. I don't mean it was a weak station.
But for those that were listening, we
that's
were
right.
always ahead of the curve.
That's right. Well,
you
that
could
was,
double your listening audience by opening the window.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Easy. No, it was more than that. It was more
hey,
than
we
that.
We got calls. We got calls.
We got a call, I remember one time. We were going to... No, we were trying to give stuff away. And, well, we were trying... Well, we
gave...
What was it? We wanted to give away the phone that time.
It never rang.
We're back on that again. That'll be good fun. Anyway, so it's fascinating to me to see this, that the ratings, this is what people do. That it is such a useless... And here we are talking about it, of course, but we're talking about it not in real time. What a useless endeavor this is, it seems, and yet there are hundreds of thousands of dollars being expended every hour on people, interviewees, you know, with standing around. I mean, here's some guy. It's like when they do a hurricane here in Florida.
Right.
They send some guy out on the beach.
Well, they send five guys out to five different sections.
Right. Well, no, that's right.
Right.
All the channels. They're standing on right. Fort Lauderdale Beach, whatever mm-hmm. it is, and they're spaced, I don't know, half a mile apart, mm-hmm. wind blowing. They're in their breakers. And this is for a 30-second spot. You know, how's the weather down there? We'll switch down to Mark. But you understand that they go back to Mark about every 30 minutes. So Mark
right.
has to go sit in the truck,
right.
you know, for 30 minutes. And then he has to go out there and get back out there in the wind again. And for another 30 mm-hmm. seconds, he says, oh, it's blowing in the wind. And he says, almost identical. And this goes on for like hours. This is the same kind of thing that they do on the JonBenet thing. Right. And it's phenomenal.
Well,
so,
they'll have three or four shows, you know, in a row, all hour long, or at least half hour, and they're all essentially talking about the same thing.
Duh! I mean, this reminds me of when I was in high school.
Now,
they said write a 500-word essay.
No, chisel.
Pardon?
Chisel a 500-word essay. You didn't pencils back when you were in high school.
That's right. No, that's right. That's right. We use limestone for paper, right. Limestone slabs. No, they write a 500-word, and, of course, the first 400 would be, well, and you asked me about this today, but I don't really know the total answer, but there's a lot to be said on this subject, and I've done a phenomenal amount of, you know, the first right. 400 words were that kind of stuff.
Right.
And there wasn't because you'd gone looked it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and there was one sense,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just this is what they have to do. So anyway.
Sex sells. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess, of course, they show her little dancing picture right. all the time, all the pedophiles. Mm-hmm. That's a new thing on the Internet, too, by the way. They're getting away. They're showing a little.
Well, they certainly got a chance to break out all that file footage of the.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they didn't have to do much research on that. They had all
that's
files.
That's the beauty of the digital age. Mm-hmm. No, you just do that. So anyway, we're done with that. I'm going to move on.
Move on.
The gold standard.
Okay, on the list we have the gold standard. Who was the letter from? I'm sorry, and I apologize for that for not knowing. It was from
Sam,
Dave, no nope. Bob,
no. Dave, Bob, Jim.
I've got it here, and he asked.
Once you find it,
I do have it here.
Once you find it, didn't your secretary work on that for you?
Yeah, right, man. Secretary, I wish.
That'd be a good idea.
What, get a secretary?
Yeah.
I had one for, let me tell you, I had a girl for a while that was like the one that Monk uses. What's her name? In one of my favorite shows is Monk. He's mm-hmm. got that girl that works for him. And I had one like her, Kara. And
what you need is Jeeves.
Well, that's true. And Jeeves and Worcester. One of my favorite. If you ever get a chance, people are watching House,
right?
And but they don't realize that guy's a Brit.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very extremely famous actor in Great Britain,
mm-hmm.
in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved his shows that were on A&E and on PBS called Jeeves and Worcester. And he was with
Bertie Worcester.
That's right. And Hugh Laurie and David Fry. Hugh, mm-hmm. That's right. It's from John. It's from John, and I don't know where John's from. Anyway, he wrote us a letter because we apparently have talked several times
mm-hmm.
about the what they call the gold standard. And one of the things that libertarians, at least this libertarian thinks, of course, they've polluted our money supply. Supposedly, totally. Even since in my lifetime, the value of on a probably across the board almost, has gone down, of the dollar, has gone down by about 95%. I mean, things literally that were a nickel or a dime in my ute are a dollar or $2 today. I mean, a perfect example.
Well, Coca-Cola. What was Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola. Literally, we're a nickel. Out of the machine, and so forth.
Out of the machine.
In fact, I had a thing in here. A guy paid a $1 parking ticket in 1946.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, in fact, even here in Gainesville, they used to be $3.
Mm-hmm.
That's quote, recent, unquote. Mm-hmm.
This is from Palm Harbor, Florida, yeah.
Palm Harbor, right. Not only that, the Coca-Colas are one thing, but I mean, across the board, the point is that the dollar itself has been worth nothing. Now, what this fellow, John, comes up with, he doesn't know all the history, and it's okay. It's my fault for not explaining it correctly, and, I'll try delve into a little bit now. There is, when you say the gold standard, there's a couple different ways to approach it. One is, it's not a gold standard. Standard is a word that I don't like. I put that in quotes. It's gold. Gold as money. If you use gold as money, and that is to say you exchange a certain number of grams or nano ounces or whatever it is for products, that's fine. That's never going to happen here because I think it's in our Constitution that the dollar is legal tender.
Mm-hmm.
And dollar was, in fact, by law, if it's not in the Constitution, was by law at 1/20th of an ounce. Now, this can create a bit of a problem in a way. Sometimes it's good and sometimes bad. As long as you keep the equivalency, as long as people can exchange that piece of paper that says 1/20th of an ounce, the dollar,
mm-hmm.
or 20 of them for an ounce, as it used to say, on the money, then it keeps the government honest. Right now, for instance, it takes about 630 or so, 620 of these pieces of paper for an ounce of gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. So when you talk about the gold standard, that means that the dollar is pegged. Not pegged, but you spend dollars in relation to the price of gold. And it's not the price of gold that goes up or down, it's the value of the dollar that goes up
right.
or down. Now what?
Compared to that gold.
Huh? Right. So what happens is...
Well, it tracks with the gold, if you were on the gold standard, quote unquote.
You're right. And that is to say, if the government suddenly prints up 10 times as many dollars, it'll take 10 times as many of those to buy an ounce of gold. It's that simple.
Right.
I mean, it's the way it is across the board. The question, of course, occurs is, if you don't have a gold basis for the system, what do you have? Well, all you have then is the promises of politicians on some one level or another, and that's the way it is in the United States.
Do you want to read some of the parts of his letter there? Do you have that?
In fact, I do. Let's see. He says, I love the show.
Well, thank you very much,
so,
John.
So that's all I need to know.
We love you listening to the show.
That's right. So he says, go back to minting gold coins. The problem is, worse things will occur if you decide to do away with the paper currency altogether and go to a bullion system. And he goes on to say, pretend tomorrow that we were to switch to the gold coin. A big boat from China shows up and we pay for the cargo with gold. Because of the trade deficit, eventually our gold stocks, I guess he's talking about Fort Knox and so forth, will be depleted. Removing the currency from circulation. Well, of course, it wouldn't remove the currency. It would remove the gold. It wouldn't be any backing.
It would only remove the gold from Fort Knox if the government was
right.
paying for it.
It certainly wouldn't remove mine.
Right, right.
And you'd be hard-pressed. Well, they of course, tax collector could come and get it. And that this causes deflation. And, of course, deflation is another... This is another thing. And when was the last time we had suffered a serious deflation was the Great Depression. And he says, and he makes sort of a valid point in that you can't. He said, while I don't agree with it, smarter men than myself make a good arguments for it. That is the gold standard. However, I don't think that preventing counterfeiting is a reason to go to the gold standard. Well, of course, the thing is, what is? I mean, the counterfeiting is the ability. Counterfeiting, quite simply, is the ability to substitute something of no value and pass it off as something of value.
Of value.
Okay, well, it's hard to do that with gold. I mean, it's so easy to check.
Mm-hmm.
You can't counterfeit
just
gold.
Just bite it.
Right, just bite it. I mean, of course, most of the time they do it at 90.
Armady!
Yeah, exactly. 90% because they have to mix it to make it harder. Gold, 100% gold, 24 karat gold is a little too soft. It wears away too quickly on your
mm-hmm.
fingers.
Arr.
So anyway, the point is, that's the main thing is you can't counterfeit. Now, what he's worried about is, As I've said in the past, and I understand where this is a center of confusion. I've said in the past that when you ship dollars over to the dollar bills over to China, that this doesn't hurt us because they have to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
The dollar is only legal tender in the United States. And of course, his point is, well, if we ship the gold over there,
mm-hmm.
It can go any place because it's not
right.
not beholden to anybody. And that's a valid point. The simple fact is, though, that because of the way the when I say the gold monetary standard, you can never fix that. If you try and fix, let me put it this way: if the United States government were to be honest about it, as they were prior to 1930, and fix the value of a piece of paper, it's because then it becomes simply a receipt. It's
right.
Not, whether it's whether you call it a dollar or a receipt, it is as valuable as the same receipt that you get from your bank today. That is, when I go make a deposit in the bank today, I get a receipt. And it says, you have $20, $50, $100, whatever it is in your bank. We just got it from you. And anytime you want to come get it, you can present this receipt or a check and get it back. That works just fine. Whether what's in the bank, whether I deposit in the bank, I don't know, wool or cotton or gold.
Or baby seal furs.
Baby seal fur, right? Or exactly.
Hamburger
or,
is.
Right. That's right. Or, you know, right. Or eagle beaks.
Right. Eagle. And the deluxe model has
Which
so much more
popular
eagle.
Popular here in Florida, eagle beak.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Eagle beak soup well, you know, is special sometimes.
That's right. And so the deal
so you
is
you get a receipt, you got the stuff in the bank, you're trading some, but somebody is interested in whatever you have of value, and they're going to trade you that some of the you believe that they have a value for what you have a value. It's a trading system,
right? Mm-hmm. So the way you go on to quote the gold standard or to actually get back to where gold was the money is a way you do it with receipts, mm-hmm. and you have to trust that whoever holds the gold, you know, doesn't abscond with it,
right?
Well. Of course, that's I don't trust the government very much. I
right.
actually trust my bank more than I trust the government. And the thing about the bank holding it is that if the bank happens to fail or if they are a bunch of thieves, let's say, for instance, and it's real hard to do that because people would be coming in every day asking for some of this stuff and, you know, they can't get away for too long. But even if the bank fails, it is a small, it might affect 1,000 or 2,000 people or something like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, when the government fails, it's, you know, 280 million people get it in the gazanja.
Right.
So that's...
They're going to try to give it to you in the ganja first.
Yeah, that's right.
Guns.
In the ganja. Right. That's the important thing is in the ganja, the Jamaican ganja.
All right, so we kind of...
Yeah, we again, I need to...
Kind of answer
I, fortunately, I...
Keep those emails coming,
Keep those
Jimmy,
emails coming. The simple... The deal is that what we have now is broken. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you from personal lifelong experience that it's not working. And I can tell you this much, that what the government has also done... has run up this phenomenal unfunded debt that there's no way they can pay it. They have literally trillions of dollars that they have said that the America that you unborn today are going to pay me or you people listening to this for your Social Security or your roads or whatever it is or your Medicare benefits. And there's just not they couldn't earn enough money. In a lifetime to pay that off.
Well, then you get that senator up there from Florida says, "I, for the purposes of this debt, I deem it paid."
Right, and they can do that. And in fact, we've already seen that. There was just an article in the paper, I think about
just tear off that piece of paper.
Right, they did. No, that was phenomenal. On an unbalanced budget, he put a piece of paper right on the Lawton Child, put a people, and he said, "This piece of paper says the balance budget is balanced," and mm-hmm. they passed it.
Yes,
I mean,
good
you know,
job.
Good job, right?
I'm going to try that.
There's a lot of accountants that would like to be able to do that.
Oh, well, the only people that can get away with this kind of fraud, obviously, is the United States government.
And so, it's theft.
Next time I pay my question. Mortgage, I'm going to try that.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck. Good luck on that. So anyway, the deal is that the system we have now is run by literally, but it's a bunch of crooks. It is fiat money. They can make it anyway. They can do anything. And you've seen this in other countries where they have this hyperinflation. You see it very quickly, like they did in Nazi Germany or in what they call the South American. Inflation of South American proportions. A lot of the dictators down there run, and we've seen the devaluation of currencies. The devaluation in the United States, of course, has been sneakier, because all that's happened is that prices have risen. In other countries, the inflation has been so rampant that they've actually said, okay, turn in all your old money. And we're going to give you the new money, and
we're going to put a zero on the end.
We're going to take off a bunch of zeros.
Right.
Actually, it's and I remember when I went the first time I went to France, you had literally two pieces of money that said one franc on them, but some of them were the old francs,
right?
That were worth a hundredth of a franc, mm-hmm. and then there were the new francs that were worth one franc. I mean, they actually did a. You know, they had them for a while. They had both of them. And you had to know to look at it.
Right.
You had to know which was which.
And that hadn't happened in the U.S. yet.
No, it hasn't.
But it has happened in Mexico. And it happened
almost every country in the world, I believe, mm-hmm. except here. But again, only because our inflation has been generational in, mm-hmm. in turn. And as I say, people, as people live longer, we do remember
right.
when things were what they were. So anyway, that's, and it gets disguised by the fact that computers today are $300 and they were $30,000
right.
just a couple years ago. Okay, enough on that. I'm going to put some on the Jimmy Jones Don't blog on that.
Jimmy Jones.
Jimmy Jones.
The
Jimmy Jones
blog. As our friend.
Kool-Aid with every email.
That's right, free Kool-Aid. John mentioned in his email, he said that people more intelligent, and more intelligent than I also, have written on this. And there have been several books, very erudite, very persuasive on the what they call the gold standard. And again, calling it the standard, it's kind of gotten a bad name. Okay, moving on. The wiretap ruling.
Yeah.
The wiretap ruling.
They don't want your wiretap.
Well, this, I thought it was one of the, there was two things that I thought were interesting. This is a big deal. Apparently up in a federal judge has ruled the NSA wiretapping illegal and has issued an injunction, temporarily an injunction against it. Now, this is a circuit court of some kind. It's a federal judge, all right, but it's a quote, local one, if you want to call it.
It's a female judge, I believe.
Yeah, well, not only that.
And she's got quite a history, too.
Well, again, now, just think about it for a second. This is the demonizing in the press thing. What they've said is she was a liberal Carter appointee. That's come out. And she's well known for her liberal this and liberal that.
It's a lifetime appointment, I believe.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Lifetime appointment. And so they're demonizing her as a person and saying, oh, by the way, she has taken this into the ruling. And she, of course, I look at this as different, and they call her a liberal with Democratic roots. They said that they fully expect this to be overturned by the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals,
right?
And they will say that the NSA wiretapping is legal. What I thought was one of the things that I thought was interesting was the quote that somebody, and I forget, what some law professor said. It seems more likely to favor national security over civil liberties. In other words, they said the Sixth Circuit, not this ruling, but the one that they think is going to happen on appeal. That is when the Sixth Circuit says, no, you can wiretap your brains out and right. you don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to get a warrant. We don't care. That's fine. And it's legal. Mm-hmm. And what the law professor says is that these people will probably rule that way. And what he calls it is, you are more likely to favor national security over civil liberties, which means you're more likely to favor security over freedom. And I'll tell you, if you do that, you've lost the war. And that, I think that says it all. And we've talked about this on many occasions. You may not agree. You may demonize her. She may be a liberal in some areas. You may not, a lot of people don't like the ACLU for a lot of their things that they've done, especially the cross thing over in San Diego. You know, they got that back up
right.
because they federalized that cross. You know, that they had the guy, atheist, said, look, you can't have a Christian cross.
Church and state, all that.
Church and state and all that. And the ACLU. So you can demonize. But the simple fact is, if you lose your freedoms, mm-hmm. if somebody can basically, and they promise you, oh, well, we're not going to do it unless you're a crook. Mm-hmm. Well, how would you know? You're going to have to listen to my stuff to find out. And you can see these guys listening in. And here's somebody, not Jimmy, but somebody might be talking some salacious thing
mm-hmm.
or making it up.
Right.
Again, not Jimmy.
Most definitely not Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear these guys hooting and hollering. And I'm going to take this, you know, and maybe I'll put it on YouTube or you.
Right.
You know, whatever. I mean, you don't know. You can't trust these guys. It's pure and simple. So I think at first glance that I applaud the ruling, actually. And I know that it's been decried by a lot of conservatives as saying, you know, you're going to let the country go down the toilet because you're going to let the terrorists win.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's not all. And, of course, if you take away all the freedoms, terrorists win anyway. End of story.
Believe me, and I was just traveling recently on an airplane and with the new restrictions.
Oh, my God.
And it was, I mean... The one thing I really didn't like is that I like to carry water on the plane with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because you get thirsty. And especially in the down here in Florida, when they cram you into this hot aluminum tube with no AC.
Right. And they sit on the tarmac for
They sit on the tarmac for a long time, and you can't get anything to drink at all.
Yeah. They stay in your seats.
Stay buckled up. And, I mean, you're dying.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, to me, that's... horseshit.
Yeah. Well, the airlines, if it weren't for the TSA, the airlines would never allow
that. Tell us what you really think.
No, I mean,
engineer.
Yeah.
And they're not allowing anybody, I mean, the people around me are, you know, they don't have any makeup on because it's all running and they can't bring that stuff. They're not very attractive. You know, I mean, what are you
going to... That
gonna,
hurts.
Yeah, I mean, it's all painful.
Yeah, no, it is. I say, we've always said that if the airlines could run this, the airlines have gotten out on this. I mean, it's really nice. They can always just say... And the most famous phrase that I hate is, I'm just doing my job, man.
Yeah.
You know, the TSA people, when you say, well, this doesn't make any sense. Oh, I know, but I'm just doing my job.
Right.
And that's a scary thing to hear. And of course, they don't care. The TSA people do not care. They're not going to fly.
Not at all.
They're not on the airplane.
No.
You know, and they don't care if they now have a thing in, they don't, quote, don't do profiling, but they do. If you mm-hmm. walk, if you walk in there and say, and roll your eyebrows or brows or, you know, snoot your nose at them, say, what the fuck, you know, something like that. I mean, if you do something like that, they'll haul you aside.
Absolutely.
They will haul you aside.
Yeah.
And the thing is, do you actually, and I want to ask you this question. I want to ask the listener, Jimmy Dome listener, do you actually feel any safer on the plane than if you weren't inspected? Now, a lot of people, you see,
email us and tell.
Yeah, emails tell us, but I'm telling you right now, first of all, they actually, you could still get a liquid or a toothpaste or something like that on the plane. You know, you just put it in your pocket.
Right.
And you walk through the metal detector, as long as you don't have a metal toothpaste tube or something.
Not anymore, though. You know, it used to be in the old days. Not anymore.
But I'm just saying, it's amazing. So in other words, the true terrorist, still going to get on with the bomb.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
He could have it in his luggage checked. He could have a cell phone detonator. You know, I mean, so that you know, just because the pilot says don't turn on your cell phone to put the bomb
okay.
up, doesn't actually mean that he won't turn it on and ignite the bomb.
You remember that one that it was the...
The number you have reached has exploded.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that all apparently there's a $3 billion water, selling water industry, which is still shocking to me, but, you know, people in the airports aren't selling any now liquids now because nobody can take them on the plane.
Even
after you go through the security
checks. That is phenomenal to me. I mean, this shows you the mindless bureaucracy.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is so typical. And you think about it. Normally in a private enterprise situation, when they are trying to entertain you, for instance, Disney. Now, Disney searches, but you don't have to go. You know, and you can crown and scream and holler, but Disney has a vested interest in making sure that you're happy. They have to do privately what TSA is doing, and that is to say they have to really ensure their parks are safe and you have a good time and are not upset by, quote, the search.
Right.
And if they can do it, the airplanes could do it as well.
Right.
But the other thing that's different about Disney and the airplanes is that Disney is not flying. I mean, other than your Dumbo.
Right.
the simple fact is that the pilots and the crew and everybody, they're going to make damn sure. They're going to do two things that seem to be diametrically opposed. One, they're going to make sure that nobody gets on that plane that's going to blow up the plane because they're on it too. And number two, they're going to make sure you have a damn happy time on the plane. They're going to make sure you're satisfied and, you know, bring back the chicks, man.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
And in fact, if he's listening, Ken, the flight attendant, was absolutely hysterical.
Really?
Yeah. And one of those rare times where you get somebody, lives in New York, very cool guy.
Yeah. This is on your plane, on a flight?
On the flight from Atlanta to San Antonio.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely, I wish I'd have had my recorder, but of course I couldn't turn it on.
Right. Couldn't turn it on. That's right.
He's been doing it for 30 years or something. He's been a flight attendant. He's really good.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Glad to hear it. Hi, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
So the deal is, what we're saying is that it is phenomenal to me, again, to repeat these words, mindless bureaucracy is what the TSA is. And I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready to make a flight here probably next month, and it's scary. I'm only scared about the damn airports, not about the plane.
Right.
It's just that you can't take, I normally take on a plane, I normally take just enough stuff because they tended to lose your luggage. And now they're losing it more because everybody has to check everything. Mm-hmm. They're overloading their own luggage things.
Right.
And so now I usually take, like, you know, your normal one night's toiletries, because if they lose your luggage, they're going to get it there the next day. So I'm going to check into the hotel, but I want to have pajamas and toothpaste and, you know,
just in case,
and my laptop so I can scream at everybody.
Right.
And stuff like that. But a lot of the stuff that I normally take in the little carry-on, which is a small carry-on, by the way,
right,
is going to be, you know, a SWAT team offense.
Right.
They don't care. Okay, moving on. I was going to talk about pensions.
Okay.
And the reason, what brought this up was a couple of things. The pension, the President Bush, I've got here the article that was from August 18th, which is yesterday. President Bush signs into law the Pension Protection Act on Thursday. Now, one of the things that's happened is a lot of the private companies, and you hear about this, have not fully funded their pensions. And when you retire from Lockheed or, you know, big, large company, you have a pension because you put money into their pension plan. Now, they actually...
You hope you have a pension.
Well, again, you know, the people at Enron found out that they had put the money in Enron stock, and 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 of those people ended up with, you know, no pensions.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing, essentially. And that was bad. Don't get me wrong. But it was 5,000 sounds like a large number of people. And there are...
Sounds about like the amount of people that were in my security line.
Yeah, exactly. All of that's right. It stretched over to the next report. Which airport are you in line for? Not which airlines.
Right.
Which airport are you in line for? That's right. Anyway, they have a law now to save the private pensions. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is the feds have gotten into the pension business, in the private pension business by their... The same way they got into flood insurance. That is, if you build your multi-million-dollar mansion on the water in a known Hurricane Alley flood zone, the taxpayers from Omaha, Nebraska will pay for your damage.
Mm-hmm. They should.
As well they should, by God. That's right. Oklahoma City, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're paying, buddy.
That's right. Pony up, pal. So anyway, the thing is that some of the pension plans are not fully funded. And it turns out that maybe they're 10, 20, 30% short, or who knows what. What I find so fascinating about this is that one article and a piece of knowledge. Another article came out today talking about how New York City, I've got it here someplace. Where did I put the one about New York City? They found some fraud in the New York City.
No.
Yeah, hard to believe.
What?
Yeah, and
New York?
Yeah, I know. Here it is. New York gets a sobering look at its pensions. This is a August 20th, and it's in the New York Times, and it's about 6 pages. It's a huge article. And it turns out that they've been using some, as we call, ledgermain. You know what that is?
No.
That's magic. Ledgermain is sleight of hand in order to make their pensions look solvent. And the actuaries, those are the people that examine this for their long-term stability and solvency, have long said that the people that are doing these pension plans are using, shall we say, unacceptable accounting principles. And
not Hermes approved, huh?
Not Hermes approved, no. Yeah. And what's interesting is that, of course, the people that are doing pension plans says, oh yeah, they're fine. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not. And it turns out they are literally tens of billions of dollars short on their pension. That's government pension plan. Now, of course, the ultimate government pension plan. Now, this is going to affect several million people in New York. Mm-hmm. But the ultimate pension fraud is Social Security, which I find it interesting that they pass a law because they're worried that maybe you'll only get 60, 70, or 80, or 90% of what Lockheed or Boeing or Martin Marietta or I don't know why, you know, Walmart or whoever mm-hmm. it is has guaranteed you. On some companies, most companies will pay off just what they say. But the United States government, if you are under, I would say if you're under 35 or even under 40, yeah. if you think you're going to get any money out of that money that's, you look on your paycheck and you see the money that's FICA.
See the money you're giving away.
Giving, literally, that is lost money. You will never see that money. That money's not being invested. It is being spent.
Immediately,
instantaneously, mm-hmm. and
on someone else.
By someone else. That's right.
And on someone else.
And you are not going to see any of that money. That money is, and added up.
Right.
It'll be tens of out. By the, if you were to be able to take that money and put it into anything,
just buy across the board in Dow Jones.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, an index fund, or just stick it in the ground. You know, put it in a damn metal. Put it in a safety deposit box. Right. And it's going to be worth more than what you're going to get. And literally, if it earned nothing,
right.
if it had a negative rate of return, you'd still earn more than you're going to get out of that money. And and to think that they have this sign. I'm looking here at the picture, and they're all standing all proudly over. You know, they are keel hauling the private companies mm-hmm. for not upholding their end of the deal when they have lied totally. And every government does this. And because you look at the California pension plan was in trouble a couple years ago.
They were in trouble last show.
Yeah.
Right. Last week.
That's right.
Last week, well, San Diego.
Okay, I was thinking of computer hours.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Doggy ears, whatever. Right. I don't know. Yeah, I know exactly.
Doggy computer.
So the point
ears.
Is, when you have a government pension plan, it could be in trouble. Now, here locally, we have one of the big deals, and I'm going to digress just for a second, slightly.
Cue the digression music.
Yeah, that's right. Well, in the old days, when you went to...
I don't don't know. I just made something up. Go ahead.
That's right. We're going on to a different track. In the old days, when you went to work for a government as a civil servant or whatever it is, what you got was a lower pay, fewer benefits, but they couldn't fire you. Now, of course, with the pensions plans are going here, you get higher pay, lots of benefits, and more pension, of course, all on the taxpayer. I mean, it's not like you're actually earning anything in the government. The government doesn't make anything. It's only the money that they take from somebody else. And even then, they're in trouble. I mean, this is what's so phenomenal is it's my INE. My new initials, I'm going to get my vanity tag. It's just going to say INE on it. It's never enough. So anyway, that's what I have to say about the pensions, and I want to warn you in advance.
New York people, pork can the
So here's
attendant.
The deal. Here's what you do. You take any money you can, and you buy gold.
Right.
And send it to us.
And send it to us. We'll send us a portion of it. Now, I'll tell you how you can do that. Mm-hmm. The way they used to do it, once you get to about, I'd say maybe about 100 or 200 Krugerrands, you put it into one of these metal, into a cloth bag, a bank bag, you know, those thick canvas bank bags,
right.
And you shake the crap out of it, and then go put your coins in the thing and send us the bag. And we'll just take the little flakes that are in there.
Fine, yeah.
All right, I'm done with that.
Okay.
Anything else you got? Anything big?
No, way to pinch that.
I did want to mention one more thing. And that has to do with there was an article that said that the ozone hole is closing.
Mm-hmm.
And a big deal, and apparently they've done some research, and I forget who it is exactly, but it's the people that need to keep their jobs, and the way they keep their jobs is to keep us scared that the ozone is not going to close anytime in their lifetime. So they said it's closing slower than they had originally projected, and the ozone, which was supposed to be a big deal over Antarctica, New Zealand, and southern Australia, apparently is going to take another 40 years or so to close. And I guess that's just going to be in time for what? The killer asteroid. did you see this article?
No, read it.
Hunt for killer asteroids. I did this. This is an article from the Associated Press, and it was 2 days ago. Excuse me, yesterday, Friday, August 18th. And it turns out this is a big deal about the new planets.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a big deal. I don't know if we talked about the thing in Prague where they don't know if Pluto, they're going to keep Pluto a planet, I think. They voted to keep Pluto a planet. Even though it actually comes inside, I didn't know this, it comes inside, its orbit comes inside the Neptune at some point. It would have taken
2 years. Maybe it'll hit one time.
Yeah, right. Cool. Little cue ball.
Solve that problem.
That's it. Well, the thing about it is it's a rock that's past the gas giants. Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the deal is that they found that the Kuiper belt and all that other stuff that's
all crack.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
you're gonna jumpstart a space program.
That's right. Anyway, the point is. Wait a minute. Stop. Okay. You can write into Jimmy at JimmyDone.com and find out what we're talking about here, because I don't know.
Okay, good.
Okay, so anyway, I did a research for this on this article to find out about the killer asteroids, and it was when I did a Google search. A search on Google. You're not allowed to use Google.
You're not allowed to use the term. I Googled it.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, I used
Which
Google.
Which is horseshit.
Yeah, right.
Google.
That's this,
right.
Google.
That's right.
Let's get sued by Google and see what happens.
Hey, cool.
Google. Exactly.
Hey,
bad publicity is good publicity. That's
right.
Pretty
there's
much
no
all we get.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Well, there's no such thing as Jimmy Jones getting good publicity, so.
That's right. Anyway, I Googled this, and I found it was a ton of stuff on killer asteroids. But there wasn't a single article that was newer than about the year 2000. I didn't realize this, but and maybe you could tell me about this, Eric. Apparently, this killer asteroid is a big deal. Didn't we talk about the keyhole last time?
Yeah.
But this is even more. I mean, this is
the one that's
are we gonna die?
It's
eventually.
Okay. Good point.
It's, yeah. It's orbiting around us at all times. Right, comes close to us. That's the one you're talking about.
Well, there's apparently several. It says the most pressing asteroid threat is 99942 Apophis or something, year 2029.
Yeah.
What?
Odds 1 in 30,000 that we'll get smacked by it.
Yeah, that's not great odds. I mean, that we're going to get hit. In other words, it's great odds that it's going to miss us.
Right. I would guess. Well, let me ask you this. If you had a 1 in 30,000, if somebody hears the deal, say you were about to put
sold.
Yeah.
Okay, good enough for me.
No, actually,
can we make money on this? Can we take some? We need to start taking bets on this or something.
Well, we could. They might do that.
We'll pay out $20,000 to the winner.
Right.
And you have a 1 in 30,000 chance of winning.
Collect day after.
Right. No. That's exactly right. What's the date on that? It's October 29th, right?
2029.
That's right, 2029. October 30th, 2029. We will
pay out. That's right.
Guaranteed.
Actually, to me, I think that is an interesting study because it is one of those things that even if we weren't extinct, it doesn't take much of an asteroid to really mess up the planet. I mean, something a mile across is going to be a major global impact.
I think somebody once told me that if it was
even if it was the size of a school bus and it hits in the Atlantic, you're talking tidal tsunamis all of around everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't take much at all to create huge because it's just moving so fast.
I mean,
they're moving at 30,000 miles an hour.
This is E equals MC squared.
Just about.
And actually, it is V squared, isn't it? It's MV squared, isn't it? The force or something?
Mass velocity.
Velocity squared, right? Yes. It's a square function. As the velocity goes up, it squares
the energy.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's the deal. I heard that it was the magic number was three times the size of a football field would really be
wipe us out.
Well, not almost.
Well, I mean, again, yeah.
We're pretty close to it. I mean, yeah. Population from 8 billion to, a couple of million. I don't know.
Something. It's going to be a big deal. And again, the big push is to try to determine and to try to see them. And they're making, a lot of progress towards that. In fact, Rusty Schweikert, who is the lunar module pilot for Apollo 9, has...
Now, you met him.
Yeah, I just met him. And in fact, got a signature and everything.
All right.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Anyway, he's really behind the movement, and he's got several websites that are set up that I will link to on the Jimmy Doan homepage, so in case you want to go and read about what they're doing. But they're trying to, of course, spot them, and then again, he's doing a one thing to spot, and then one thing to try to figure out what we could do to actually prevent it from hitting us.
I want to go for a ride.
blow it out of the sky.
No, but I mean, wouldn't be kind of fun to, seriously, if you were in a space suit or something, and you have found one of these things that was maybe a mile across, going to hit us?
Right.
But
just
come
jump
close.
On.
Right.
Ride it like big horses.
Urban surfing, but you're not in the urban area.
Right.
Right.
And you kind of ride this thing, and then when you get near the Earth, you jump off right towards the Earth.
Right.
Just before.
And then the gravity of the Earth would
suck you in.
Would bring you down.
Wow.
And you could that guy, there somebody's going to try and set the high altitude jump now, which is, 102,000 feet.
Oh, really?
On a balloon. Well, I mean, if you did it off the asteroid, you'd be automatic.
Yeah, you'd be a winner. You'd get on Oprah or something.
Yeah.
You'd be on the Jimmy Doan show.
That's it. All right.
So, yeah. Excellent.
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 So that's the...
Yeah, we got a couple.
That's good. The only other thing... anything else? The only thing I've got is goes into the light notes.
Let's kick into the light notes.
Okay, you got anything special?
The Great Immigration Trade, did you want to...
Well, I noticed that they got this worst article. I had it on the cheese. They got some, here's what they're doing.
Border cop nabbed cheese smuggler.
That's it. Have you seen that?
Puzzled U.S. Border Police arrested a Mexican smuggler with 88 pounds, 40 kilograms of cheese in a special compartment in his truck. Okay. he's smuggling in cheese. Officers used an x-ray machine and saw the outline of 16 bulky packages stashed in a secret compartment behind the seat, which, of course, they probably thought was
cheese.
Meat or something.
Yeah, right.
The very small, what are those people that you were visiting?
The Mayans.
The Mayans, right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Smuggling in a bunch of money. They're about that size.
But no, apparently they trashed the guy's truck. And
is it illegal to smuggle in cheese?
They confiscated the truck and arrested him.
For?
Because he failed to declare his cargo.
Undeclared cheese.
And in 2003, border police in the area impounded nearly 800 pounds of bologna as it was being smuggled.
Bologna.
Some weapons-grade
cheese
bologna.
Cheese and bologna.
Right.
It's like one of those Hickory Farm, baskets you get with cheese and bologna in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So a large one.
That's 800 right.
pounds is more than,
right.
UPS deliver that big.
So I'm sure that that's a big threat to national security to have
they have two or three
pounds.
Guys tearing his truck apart.
Right.
And, oh, my God. It's
arresting him and impounding his.
It's Gouda.
Right.
It's Gouda.
Yeah.
And of course, once they do that, this is what Curtis would tell us, once they do that, they're on the hook. In other words, once you've written the ticket, no matter how valid the excuse, you still...
Yeah, you got to go through.
Here's another great line.
Committed.
I have one more little snippet on this article. I love this line. It looks like it was destined for people who wanted a taste of the old country. it's like he's trying to bring some Mexican cheese home to give to police.
I wonder why,
but
the question is, why wouldn't you declare it, I wonder?
He probably had drugs inside the cheese.
Maybe you have to pay. Maybe I wonder if it's illegal. I mean, it can't be illegal. I
I mean, it's a food stuff, so, you know, who knows?
No, well, they have the, well, I'll bet that the reason is there's two things to consider.
Anthrax?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a dairy product.
Right. That's right. More cowbell.
Right. Dairy product.
No, the deal is that it could have been a native Mexicano person who was just thought, because of the pervasiveness and the overbearing attitude of the border agents,
right,
would say, look, I'm not going to take a chance. I mean, if I declare it, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So I'll
take my
cheese. Yeah, so they got him anyway. It is, this, again, shows you the mindlessness of it all. Anybody reasonable would have said, in other words, if it wasn't
drugs or whatever,
drugs,
right,
you'd say, go ahead, you know, get out of here. That's fine. Take,
right,
you know, take off, you hoser.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, of course, one of the things that is interesting, that is illegal in this country, I believe it's illegal, is to sell or manufacture or even look at or spell the word unpasteurized cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you, and it's a
and we did, for you listeners, do a huge show on the milk pasteurization.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yes, that's right.
Huge. Back in the archives, go search, use edit, find on this page, keyword
pasteurization
or something. Milk. We did a great show on that one. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Don't want to have those, by golly, pasteurized milk.
Yeah. Okay. Next.
What about this orangutan?
Yeah, that one, now that was one, Eric, that was one you brought. I mean, this was brought up anew.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're gonna hitch up a DSL link between, Indonesia and, Holland.
Apparently online dating isn't for humans anymore. Not just for humans. Yeah, they're going to have online dating for orangutans, so that orangutans can pick out their mate and decide if they're going to
eatmonkey.com. Right. So no, but
you got to see the personals page on this one.
Well,
Lulu,
that's right.
In a svelte 320 pounds.
That's right. That's right. No, well, the thing
enjoys licking her butt.
And yours. Cool.
And yours.
It's right out of that, what was that, Clint Eastwood movie where they had the orangutan in there?
Yeah. She's going to get lots of calls.
Yeah, she got lots of calls. You know, she showed them lips.
Right. She's a celeb, man. That's a whole different thing.
That's right. Well, the thing about it, the thing that I get, when you look at this, when you think about this, they're going to have I guess it's going to be like video dating. They're going to put them up on a, and they're going to be able to.
What do they jump up and down at the one they like?
Well, yeah. So, well, see, here's the deal.
And then they fly them in?
Yes, exactly. That, they said the transportation was a bit of a problem, but what I find interesting is apparently they're going to have some video hookup, and somehow, since most guys, I say most,
right,
except for some computer geek nerd person, can't tell the difference between a good-looking orangutan and a bad-looking one. I mean, who's to know? Hey, she's a babe, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's one of those things. That's right, that's right. So you have to trust, I guess you have to trust the guy orangutan to make the decision, to select the babe.
I guess.
I mean.
Well, I don't know. Apparently, they're going to try to set up a romantic dinner for two.
Yeah, now that, and it's over long distance.
Over the internet, right.
You know, I mean, you can't even do that. You can't even do that now with any babe on the, I mean, you're supposed to be able to press a lever and
feed. Press a lever and you can feed the person on the orangutan on the other end.
Mm-hmm. Crack. Okay, that's good.
So anyway, it'll be interesting to see. Well, I'll tell you, we'll have to
eorangutan.com, like you said.
That'd
be great.
Eorangutan.com. So, well, so next time you run into someone in a chat room and thinks, what a baboon,
think twice. That's right.
Might actually be
different now. The baboon contingent might be upset if you confuse them with orangutans.
Was there something on the,
maybe there's some money made, you know, Heidi Fleiss of, right? Okay. All right, well, the only thing I got, speaking of orangutans, Copperfield says he owns Fountain of Youth.
Whoa! Now, I saw in there was $300,000 or something like that to do something?
Yeah, $300,000 a
Copperfield?
Week.
Yep.
David.
It's a private resort that rents a $300,000. Yeah, he's got an island in the Exuma chain over here in the Bahamas. But he claims that he's got the Fountain of Youth.
Uh-huh.
And he bought four tiny islands for $50 million.
Hmm. And apparently he puts old dead leaves in it and they come back to life.
Right, which I'd like to see. That'd be cool.
Well, of course, you can't
trust. I hope it's true. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I just.
Well, it is. Cool. Of course, it's David Copperfield.
Well, see, and that's the whole catch, isn't it?
Yeah, that is.
There's a little Twinkie in that.
Yeah, there. There's something. It's, you know, we're talking David Copperfield,
right?
We're talking about guys that make jets disappear. Okay,
right, right.
So
we're talking about guys that get Claudia Schiffer to sleep with him.
Yeah, right. So now we're
for a little while.
So now we're talking about dipping a crinkled leaf into a piece of pond and bringing out a full leaf. Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You don't even be David Copperfield. I could probably learn to do that.
I certainly would want to interview the people coming back and see how youthful they look.
That's,
but of course, it is David Copperfield.
Right.
So, you know, they just swap him out or whatever, you know.
Like you say, $300,000 would be cheap if it actually were to work.
Yeah.
I can tell you that right now.
I mean, I think that's the whole resort rents for $300,000 a week. But I don't know. You know, who knows?
Could be a room.
It could be.
Per person. God. Double occupancy required.
Yeah, you and interior, the person we're going to switch you out with.
Yeah, that's right.
Interior view.
That's right.
You got anything else?
Or what, no,
I pretty well. The only
it was a good Saturday show.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah.
Keep
those emails coming.
Oh, I did want to mention, as you know, we have a lot of listeners from Nevada, especially Las Vegas and
that's
Reno.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that they just passed a law, which I think is problematic, in Las Vegas.
A new law,
hard to believe, in Las Vegas, says you can't sleep near shit.
Can't sleep near?
Yeah, within 500 feet of feces or urine, or you get arrested.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I think what it had to do was people getting winos getting drunk and, you know, peeing on the sidewalk and then falling down and going to sleep. And I think this is their roundabout way to say, if you're that close, we're going to arrest you.
I figured.
Now, they did make some exceptions. They said if you walk past it, that's okay.
That's okay.
Right.
Or if it appears,
is there that much?
If it appears
PCs
outside
streets,
your window, that's okay. Look, this is your government in action. This is a typical case of camel is a horse designed by a committee. I mean, look, they I don't know. Apparently, they've got a problem, homeless, whatever it is, and now
they got to come up with something.
They got to come up with something, and so this is their whacked out, you know, Lego type convoluted. This is a solution that looks like one of those. A gerbil cage. You know, it's got loops and turns and ups and downs. There's a pipe that goes all over the place. And
you're always in the same place.
I think there's a business opportunity here, Jimmy.
Okay.
You know what it is?
I'm listening.
Okay, what it is what we do is we have these nice little columns that stand about, you know, whatever. It could be even a little tiny thing. How about a little tiny thing, like a little hockey puck thing? And it just contains one molecule of Jimmy's urine. And you sell this to casinos and stuff, and they strategically place these little decorative things around their casino. But by law, they know that it contains urine, so that way there's no way you can have any homeless people sleeping out in front of your place.
Jimmy is speechless.
Go ahead and cue the music.
Yeah,
here.
I think
we can't top that.
On that note,
way to pinch that one off.
That's right. On that note.
Way to go. It was good to be here.
Yes.
Remember Jimmy at jimmydone.com. Tell all your friends. Keep listening.
That's right.
Give us some feedback. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what you don't want to hear.
And then we'll do more of that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we'll do whatever the hell we want to do. Jimmy's Law.
That's right. That's right. Without Counselor Curtis, we're on the loose.
That's right.
Where they take a leash off.
Loose the
wild dogs. And run the show.
We got a mojo working.
That's right. That's it.
All right. Well, we'll be back soon, won't we?
Yes. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how quickly we can do this. And unfortunately, they have really got you working like crazy at your job there.
I'm working like a hanging dog.
That's it. So that's it. Unfortunately, this show, believe it or not, I would say that at least half the reason the show is even remotely successful is the mixing that you do. It reminds me, I wanted to say hello to Hanger Dogs. Man, don't forget to listen to Hanger Dogs. And they said, I sent them a book out there to one of their people. And they were a little upset that I hadn't signed it.
Uh-huh.
They don't realize that I'm a firm believer in re-gifting. I never sign anything.
Right.
I don't sign Christmas cards, birthday cards, Thanksgiving cards. I may put a sticky note on it that says who it's from. But I send them, I give
That's
them,
very thoughtful of you.
No, because I believe they should. But this is the ultimate in recycling. If you can make somebody else happy,
right,
then that's fine. That's one of the reasons I don't sign it.
Right.
There actually was method in my madness.
What?
Now, with the exception of when we finally get whatever we're going to hand out here on the Jimmy Joey Donjo, whatever. I'm mouse pads, whatever it is.
T-shirts.
Those we will.
Mugs.
Have.
Right.
Those will not. Those will be regifted.
Yeah, it's like in that Futurama where Leela becomes a star and then she's signing things and the lady says, "Yeah, can you just make it out to me to eBay?"
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So.
Yeah, on eBay, I won some more stuff, but I lost some stuff.
Yeah, I see you got a printer over there.
You didn't win, huh?
Yeah, the printer. I got stiffed on the printer.
Yeah, it does everything but what? Print?
Yeah. It actually moves. It goes up and down. It eats up the ink, but there's no ink that shows up on the page. Other than that, it's fine. All right, I'm going to run. Talk to you later, and hopefully in a few days.
Okay. Yep, have a good one.
Keep tuned in.
Yeah. Tuned up.
Tuned on. Turned in. Falling down. Jimmy Doan.